This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a very warm welcome along to the latest edition of the William Hill Golf Podcast. Dave Kellner and Dave Tindall with you, and we are ready to talk golf. We've got two events this week. We've got the military tribute at the Greenbrier 2018 and the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open on the agenda this week. First of all, a warm welcome to the man joining me on Skype this week. Dave Tindall, why aren't you in the studio with me, Dave?
It's too early and I had to do the school run.
I'm sounding slightly hoarse this morning as well for our American listeners. It was a huge night of football last night with I'm sure they already know, but England knocking out Colombia on penalties. So a little bit hoarse. There was a lot of screaming and shouting last night, Dave.
Absolutely, yes. A bit of a thriller, wasn't it? And England won on penalties, so maybe strange things are happening in the world of sport this week.
Maybe I'll get a winner on the podcast this week,
well,
Dave.
Well, yeah, that would be very strange.
Everything's possible. Last week was a sensational week of golf. We had two fantastic champions, one of them backing into the title, the other one producing a masterful front-running display. Let's start with Francesco Molinari, Dave, because that was an absolute clinic he put on in Maryland to win the event there. It was just brilliant. 84% of Molinari's strokes gained for the week were a result of his tee to green performance. Sean Martin's done some amazing numbers, the PGA Tour correspondent, about Molinari's ability from tee to green last week. It was just unbelievable.
Yeah, superb, and a little bit frustrating because I actually put him up in a double.
Okay.
On the podcast, I put him up with Poulter. It was kind of individually, both were a little bit skinny. I think Poulter was 20s, Molinari might have been 18s. And as well as Molinari's been playing, I thought 18s on its own was just perhaps a tad skinny. So I put them together, and obviously Poulter didn't get it done. But yeah, I did expect Molinari to play well last week, but not that well. And you wonder now where he can take it, because he's got a couple of big wins under his belt in recent times now. Played well in the US Open as well. I mean, people might forget as well, he was runner-up in last year's USPGA.
Yeah, so yeah.
This is a guy who before he didn't seem to quite get it right in the majors and always was a bit of the bridesmaid in other big events. But now you're thinking, wow, what he could really... These are kind of absolutely his peak years now. What's he going to do?
He hit a career-high 62 of 72 greens, including all 18 on Friday. And just to put that 18 greens into perspective on Friday, there have been more than 13,000 rounds played on the PGA Tour this season. A player has hit every single green only 37 times, so that puts that particular round into perspective. And the one stat that I love most of all, this again comes from Sean Martin, he still would have won the tournament had he ranked 72nd of 74 in strokes gained putting.
Yeah,
which I thought was a phenomenal stat.
Absolutely. And I think half of those rounds that were all 18 greens were that event in Texas when they moved it.
Yeah, yeah.
Where I remember writing quite a lot of those at it like that. But yeah, absolutely phenomenal from Molinari. And you always thought if his putter was sort of just decent enough, he's got the tee to green skills to really sort of do something like he's done. And yeah, what a confidence boost that must be. Not just a win, but just a win by a mile. Mm.
And on the European Tour at the Open de France, Alex Noren backed into the title, Dave, posted 7 under, and that proved enough. It's a golf course that I absolutely love. It's going to be sensational for the Ryder Cup in September. He was genuinely shocked that was the winning score, Dave.
Yeah, not that we've seen him do it before, haven't we? We saw him come from about 7 back to win at Wentworth, so he can do that. But obviously, that at Wentworth was with a 62. This was just a kind of good, solid final round that would he'd be thinking, "Oh, I'll probably get a nice top 5 there." But kind of one by one, they fell away, and they obviously did need help from the field. But the old thing about scoreboard pressure, and it is such a tough finish at Le Golf National, as we'll see in the Ryder Cup. So, yeah, fair play to him. He's just got that sort of winning touch, hasn't he, now, where he can win from anywhere sort of thing. So he's a player you've got to not be scared of sort of when he's quite a number of shots back on the final day. It's a good in-play opportunity.
Now let's get stuck into this week. We'll start with the Irish Open, where we have joint favourites here at William Hill. John Rahm and Rory McIlroy both in the betting at 13-2. Rafa Cabrera-Bello is 16-1. Matthew Fitzpatrick is 20s. Andy Sullivan 22s. Russell Knox is 25-1. And it's 28-1 and bigger the rest. And Dave, this is an absolute gem on the European Tour nowadays. Ever since the Rory Foundation became involved heavily, and it's an event that's been reinvigorated since it became a Rolex Series event as well. And it's the middle of these three Rolex events, and it's the fourth on tour this season. And the previous three have been won by Torbjörn Olesen, Francesco Molinari, and last week, Alex Noren. And it has become a theme that the cream continues to rise to the top in these rich and lucrative events on the European Tour.
Yeah, absolutely. These sort of $7 million purses obviously get the big players' attention. You get the better fields. And as you say, it just seems to be a who's who that are winning these. I mean, there's obviously some other players that are sneaking into the places. But yeah, look at last year when John Rahm turned up and you thought, well, will he be able to cope with links? And he absolutely demolished the field at Port Stewart. He's back to defend. I mean, I think he might be hard to beat this week.
Yeah, I do as well.
Yeah, there's some good players taking part, and as you say, this is a rich run of Rolex Series events where it's a great chance for guys to bank, you know, Ryder Cup points and lots of points for the race to Dubai as well. So it should be a cracking tournament, and the course. I mean, if you've seen some of the pictures of the course, it looks absolutely stunning, doesn't it? Right by the seaside, proper links. I suppose the thing we're not quite sure about is the weather. We're being told it's lovely weather everywhere, and obviously we're in the middle of a heat wave here in the UK. But I did read some stuff from Paul Dunn where he said, although it sort of looks lovely, and it was still blowing 15 mile an hour when he played the practice round. So I'm looking at the forecast, and it says, well, not much wind, but it's Ireland, though, isn't it? Sort of on the coast. It's going to be some, surely.
Yeah, you'd think so, wouldn't you? We know that these events have been dominated by the elite players. We don't know that much about the golf course, Dave. It's been played at Ballyliffin in County Donegal. It's a links test, as you mentioned. It measures 7,462 yards, plays to a par of 72. Only three par fives with three par threes on the property as well. Can you enlighten us any further on what to expect? I know the weather is expected to be the course's main defence.
Yeah, I mean, I went on Twitter and kind of asked, has anyone played this? And quite a few sort of locals and members got back and predictions of the scoreline. Yeah, it was very nice of them, always very helpful. And some were saying if the wind blows, it'd be about -3. Others were saying if the wind doesn't blow, they could absolutely tear it apart and it'd be -20 and maybe more. They asked Shane Lowry this in his press conference yesterday. He said -10 would be a good score, but he said it could obviously go up to -17 or whatever, or go the other way. So, yeah, I don't think anyone could quite put the number on the head. But what they can give you is the context. And if it is windy, yeah, then it'll be maybe single digits. But if it's not windy, what did Rahm win with 24 under last year?
Yeah, he went bonkers,
didn't he? 20 odd under again.
Yeah. I've got one selection.
I've got two. Slightly, yeah, I'll go with two.
Okay, you can lead then.
Yeah, this is an interesting one because, again, when I asked sort of the locals there what to expect, a lot of them came back and said, get on Graham McDowell because he's played it loads.
Yep.
See, part of you thinks, yeah, we're bound to sort of say that is, that's what, you know, always the thing. Oh, this guy's played it loads, therefore he's going to win. But he is interesting this week, McDowell, because he's had a bit of a interesting build-up, shall we say. He was meant to be playing in open qualifying yesterday, but Air France lost his clubs.
Oh, right, okay.
So they're still somewhere at Charles de Gaulle. I don't know if he's got them back as we speak here Wednesday morning, but he had to make the decision to either just borrow some clubs and give it a shot, or just forget it and then start to focus on this week. In the end, he said, look, I'm going to leave it. I don't want to go into it half-hearted trying to qualify for the Open. There are six places up for grabs still over these next 2 weeks. So I think GMAC, he's made his decision. He's not going to qualify. He's going to try and qualify for the Open via a massive finish, either here or in Scotland next week. And here is obviously a great chance for him to do so. It's a course that he knows really well. And it's a course you can see that should really suit him. It's not the longest ever. It will run out a long way. It's meant to be very firm and fast. A lot of the players saying you've got to hit it in the fairway. Not so much so that you're not going to lose it in thick rough, but just to control your approaches. GMAC was eighth in driving accuracy at the Open de France last week, so that's clearly a side of his game that's coming along nicely. He's using the old classic. His game's trending in the right direction. But I think it is back in Europe. He's not had a great run in America, but back in Europe he was fifth in the Italian Open at the start of June, 12th at Wentworth before that.
Yeah,
just one bad round in France, second round 77. But otherwise, he played pretty nicely there, tied 37th in the end. But as I say, that second round killed him a little bit. I just think he's got that extra motivation now. He's made a clear decision not that he wants to try and qualify for the Open at Carnoustie by having a massive big finish. And I think just at 50-1, you put all that together, the motivation, the fact that he's played this course before numerous times. There is a fly in the ointment that his record in the Irish Open is bafflingly poor, but it's one of those ones you think, well, I can't think why it should be, so I'm going to sort of slightly brush over it.
Yeah.
And if he was 25, 33, no. But at 50-1, I thought I'm going to have a little go on GMAC this week, just because of all those little elements.
Yeah, very good. Graham McDowell, 50-1, Dave's headline selection. I'm going with Hao Tong Lee as my number one pick here at 33-1. I've just got a feeling in the next 24 months or so, he's going to become a global superstar, Hao Tong Lee. I think he's that good. And he can start by winning a Rolex Series event and adding to that big event win in the Dubai Desert Classic earlier this season. On that occasion, he went toe-to-toe with Rory McIlroy and won. That shows he's not scared of this environment at all. And he can handle links golf as well, as he showcased last year at Birkdale with that cracking closing round of 63. That meant he finished solo third on that occasion. His event form is decent, with three straight cuts made at the Irish Open. And he comes into this on the back of three straight top 25 finishes as well. He closed with a 67 in Paris, which shows his game is in good nick at the moment. And when he finished 16th in the US Open recently, he led the field in greens in regulation on that occasion, which shows his long game is in fine working order as well. I think the stars are aligning for Hao Tong Lee here, and even though I'm on the edge in terms of the price there at 33-1, I'm going to make him my solo selection this week, a point each way.
Yeah, I definitely looked at him as well for all those reasons that you said. It's going to happen soon, isn't it? He lands a, well, he's already landed a Dubai Desert Classic, but maybe lands a Rolex Series event. Yeah, I agree with you there.
Oh, good. 33-1, Hao Tong Lee. What about your second pick?
Well, my second pick, and I was sounding a little bit, I think I'm going to play him in the first round leader market.
All right, okay.
Just a little variation there. And it's Padraig Harrington.
Right, okay.
Yeah, we're back in Ireland, obviously. Massive support this week. Interesting press conference. Harrington's press conferences are always interesting. Mm. He always sort of goes on and on and on. He was specifically asked about his odds, actually. Someone said, are you 66-1 to win this? And he was sort of amazed that he was that big.
Right, okay.
He said, I mean, it was a Parkland test, fair enough. But as it has, you know, it can be in the Irish Open. But back on the links, where obviously he's a two-time Open Championship winner, he really fancied himself for that. He looked through his form, though. It's a bit hard to maybe play that, but when you look at his first round form, I think you're seeing something different. Last time out in the Travellers Championship, shot 66 in round one, but finished 74th, so obviously faded away. At St Jude, another good start, 68, fell back to 56. Just generally the pattern. Houston Open, he started with a 67, but missed the cut. So he's starting his tournaments really well of late. So I think Harrington, just this could be an interesting one to get up to a fast start. He's 66-1 as well in the first round leader market.
Yeah.
And although, yeah, I can't quite see the four rounds. He's actually drifted to 80-1 in the outright market if you do fancy him for that. But 66 he is for first round. I just think all those little good opening scores and the fact that he's played this course before, it is a test that should suit him. It's firm and fast, fiery, fairly narrow fairways. He just absolutely knows what to do. It was fourth, wasn't he, a couple of years ago in the Scottish Open. He played really well to finish fourth. So he absolutely can still play Lynx golf. And I just thought it's a nice way to get him on board without kind of him getting your hopes up and then you're going, no, it wasn't to be. I think maybe get him in the first round and that might be the absolute peak time to get him.
66-1, Graham McDowell to be the first round leader each way.
Harrington.
Oh, sorry, Graham McDowell. Podrick Harrington, I do apologise. 66-1 to be first round leader each way. I've got a few I want to mention, Dave, away from the selections.
Yeah.
Chris Wood, I thought, was of interest. We all know about his ability on links layouts. He's 33-1. Obviously,
Can I jump in there on Chris Wood quickly?
Yep.
I was all about to put him up as my main tip, and then I read his press conference after the final round in Paris.
Right.
And he just said he's not been hitting it great for a while, and it's his putter that's saving him for the last 6 weeks.
That's interesting.
It just sounded really, you know, his long game isn't there, he said.
It's weird that, because I heard either his caddy had been quoted or one of his playing partners recently had been quoted saying he was very, very close, Chris Wood, and this wasn't a massive surprise. So that's strange.
Yeah, I just thought I'd check that conference and expect him to say I'm hitting it great and here we go on a links course where he should do well, and yeah, it was just a weird one. He said, I've putted so well for 6 weeks now, just my long game's not been there. That was his quote.
Right, okay. Now that's a strange one, because I mean he's got a very good Irish Open record as well, hasn't he? Finishing 8th in 2014 and 16th the following year. You'd think this would set up ideally for him.
Yeah, I mean maybe I'm over analysing it, maybe, you know, sometimes you can read too much into it, but he generally says it how it is. So it was enough to put me off, I have to say, but don't let that put you off if you don't believe player quotes.
Yeah.
But he's got obviously lots of other things going for him this week.
And the other one that I quite liked was Ryan Fox at a big price. He's 66-1, Ryan Fox. He finished fourth last year. I think he'd want it to be quite benign and low scoring.
Yeah, I think so. I followed him around in an open once for, I think, 9 or even 18 holes, and he looked like he knew what he was doing on links golf. He was sort of pitching it short of the green and bouncing it up. So, yeah, he's a good player.
Mm. Any you want to mention, Dave?
Our friend Adrian Oteguay.
Yep.
I thought he played really well in Paris last week. He's got a bit of decent form in these Irish and Scottish Opens, top 20 in both of them last year. Lots of good form this year. Of course, he won the Belgian knockout. I did have a little look at Nicholas Kolsarts. He's someone who can play links golf well. He's 125-1.
Mm.
And there's only two players. This course was actually used back on the European Tour in 2002. I think it was the North West of Ireland Open or something like that. Only two players in the field this week played that, and Kolsarts was one of them, and he was 19th. So this gives him a little leg up, maybe. Very inconsistent at the minute. It's either sort of miscut or top 10, but I thought if he has an on week, Kolsarts, loads of good form on links form, he could be an interesting outsider at 125s.
Very good. Shall we move on?
Yes.
Just the market leaders, John Rahm or Rory McIlroy?
Rahm.
Yeah, Rahm for me as well. Both 13-2. Let's talk about the military tribute at the Greenbrier 2018. There's been a name change here. It used to be called the Greenbrier Classic. Not a course change, though. We're still at Old White TPC in West Virginia for the Greenbrier. And this has been a pretty decent test for these players since Stuart Appleby ripped the place apart back in 2010. The 2016 edition was cancelled due to flooding, but they came back to the course last year and it played very similar to what it had done in the past. And Xander Schauffele won with a total of 14 under par. The course is a reasonably lengthy par 70, measuring 7,286 yards. But that length is negated somewhat because the course sits around about 2,000 feet above sea level, and the ball obviously flies further at this altitude. We're playing on bent grass, or the players will be playing on bent grass greens this week, and the field is pretty weak for a main tour PGA event, and it's Tony Finau that heads the betting here at 14-1. A whole host of players at 16-1. Bubba Watson, Phil Mickelson, Russell Henley, Webb Simpson, all 16s. Joaquin Niemann is 20-1. Xander Schauffele, defending champion, 20-1 as well. Brian Harman and JB Holmes and Jimmy Walker, all 28-1. And it's 30-1 and bigger the rest. Schauffele, Dave, led the field in greens in regulation when winning last season and putted well also. Is that the formula that leads to success around Old White TPC?
Yeah, I think so. If you look at the stats, and it's absolutely sort of why I've picked the player I have this week for those two reasons.
Okay.
Just got the one pick.
Yeah, I think it's a golf course where if you drive the ball well and put well, the short game, we tend to focus a lot, Dave, on strokes gained approaching the green each and every week. I think that's a week where you can, or this is a week where you can steer away from that particular stat.
Yeah, possibly, yeah. So I think as well, the altitude thing you said, I think maybe it helps as well. Maybe Schauffele disproved it, but I like a player who's maybe had a few knocks at this course.
It's a decent event. I think it has been a decent event for first timers down the years. My opinion. I mean, we've had a lot of guys looking at the golf course for the first time and winning.
Yeah, there is that, I suppose. So I shouldn't put you off, but I think I was just sort of looking at someone who's played it a few times and played it either side of the redesign well. So I've got one pick. You've got one as well.
Yeah,
lead off.
I've got one. Maybe I was reverse engineering things there because my guy hasn't seen the track before.
I bet I can guess now who it's going to be.
Oh, I don't think so.
No, I was going to say Ryan Moore, but no.
No, it's not. It's Aaron Wise is my headline selection.
Yes.
66-1 he is, which I think is a decent bet. He was the winner of the Byron Nelson relatively recently. That came a week after he'd finished second or tied second at the Wells Fargo. And obviously, if he was coming in with that sort of form, Dave, he'd be a much shorter price this week. But he subsequently missed three straight cuts. Two of them came in the weeks following that win. So I believe they are excusable performances. Young guy getting his first win on tour. Maybe there was a bit of partying involved, took his eye off the ball. And the other miscut was at Shinnecock. Obviously, a lot of players struggled that week as well. So, again, forgivable. And he's just got the game that suits Old White TPC down to the ground, in my opinion. He can really roll it on the greens. He ranks 34th in strokes gained putting. Hammers it off the tee as well, ranking in the top 40 in strokes gained off the tee. Obviously, when you win, generally you've had a decent week throughout the bag, but his win at the Byron Nelson was one of the most impressive performances this season, and it's only a matter of time before he bounces back. So I thought 66-1 in a field so weak was a decent price this week.
Yeah, fair enough. As you say, you can get first-time winners here, so that's we'll allow that.
Yeah, so 66-1, he's my only pick.
Yeah, I think from my point of view, when I was looking, if you do look at course form, you do see a lot of guys who play well here all the time. You've got Russell Henley has had back-to-back top fives. Robert Streb, runner-up twice in a row. Lots of other players played well and then played well again. JB Holmes. But the one I've gone for in that category is Webb Simpson.
Yep, can see that.
16-1. He's got a third, a seventh, a ninth, and a 14th at this course. When he was interviewed, I think it was yesterday, Tuesday, he said it's one of the seven tournaments or seven courses where he pencils in on his schedule as right. That's definitely going to be it.
Did he name the other tournaments, Dave?
Yeah, the seven will be about 35, depending where he is at the time. Which press conference is that? Always one of my favourites. But you can see why he would like this course. So he does come back every year. It's one of these ones where the players like to bring their families. It's a very sort of nice, sort of accommodating sort of place. He says it's like the courses he grew up on as well. So he where you get to hit lots of different clubs, long irons, short irons, wedges, lots of different ways to play this this course. And he likes that variety. He doesn't just like to sort of bomb it and then hit it again. Mm. He says he doesn't really have to do anything amazing to contend here, and you can see why it is such a good fit for him. I think particularly this year, we saw him win the Players' Championship. Tee to green, he's been excellent, but it's his putting, isn't it, which has taken him onto that new level again. He's really got the putter going well. And I can't for the life of me see why he's 16s and Tony Finau's 14s. When Webb Simpson's won a US Open and a Players' Championship, Tony Finau's won the Puerto Rico Open. So how does that work?
Because that was at altitude. That's probably the only reason. Maybe.
Hanging on there, yeah. But also, 10th at the US Open, Webb Simpson. So it's not like he's gone off the boil since the Players' Championship. So one of those ones, 16-1, absolutely. If it'd been 10s or something, but I think he should be favourite in this week's field, to be honest. So 16-1, 50 odds, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'll be surprised if he doesn't place, to be honest.
Yeah, Webb Simpson 16-1, a confident selection. I suppose the names that I want to mention towards the top of the betting, you can understand why Russell Henley's been cut and he's been popular, Dave. Comes in good form, 6 a couple of weeks ago and top 5 the last 2 years this event's been played.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Russell Henley is very kind of exposed in the market with his form and everything, so he should go well. Bubba's got property, hasn't he, on the course? He actually said he'd never been here. It was actually Webb Simpson who told him it would be somewhere cool to have like a second home, a vacation home. So he's obviously a three-time winner this year, and somehow it seems strange that
he's been unbelievable, hasn't he? Really,
yeah.
That performance in the Travelers when he collared Paul Casey down the stretch.
Yeah,
he came home and played some brilliant golf late in the piece.
Absolutely, yeah. So who knows with Bubba. Mickelson, 16s, not really for me.
No.
I thought Brian Harman might go well. This would be his sort of course. He's 28. So I was quite like Kevin Na as an each-way bet. He's
40-1 here.
Yeah, I thought that's okay. If you see Kevin Na at sort of 25s, you think, well, no. But 40s, I think that's got the each-way element to it that could land... land your bets. We're a bit short on some other ones that I quite liked.
I liked Joaquin Niemann but we've really ducked him at 20-1. But
yeah,
he had a big chance to win this last year as an amateur. He had that disastrous Saturday where he shot 75. But if that had been a 70, he'd have been in the shake up for the title on Sunday. And this place undoubtedly suits him, and he's just getting better and better. And he's planning on playing 4 more times this season on the PGA Tour in order to earn his card for next season. And I think this week could seal his spot in that top 125.
Yeah, it's a great chance for him. As you said at the start, it's a fairly weakish field, so this is a great chance for him. But obviously we're very, very well aware of it, aren't we, our odds compilers, that he's got a big chance here. I wondered if you might pick someone like CT Pan at 80s.
Yeah, he's playing well each and every week now, isn't he, at the moment?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was on my mind 80-1, I must admit, CT Pan.
Yeah, also Abraham Anser, who was top 4 last week, a young Mexican.
You quite like him, don't you, Dave?
Yeah, I've done him a few times, actually. He's good for first-round leader as well, Abraham Anser.
Yeah.
I think he's a good young player. Says he's... big fan of bent grass greens, which we've got this week, so that's a little angle for him as well.
Yeah, and he obviously played very well last week, didn't he?
Yeah, started fast and then just kept it going, so that was an impressive performance from him. There was one more I was going to mention. I thought Anibal Lahiri might go well, but I think we've ducked him a little bit at 50s.
Yeah, and Ryan Blaum at 66 has got decent course form and recent form as well.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's quite a few of sort of 50-1 and above that you can look at, but I just thought Simpson for me was the absolute one you can rely on here, I think.
Who's the player you don't want to win this week? Would it be Chris Wood, because he's put you off, perhaps?
Yeah, Chris Wood won. I think, well, if I hadn't have read that press conference, I'd have backed him.
Yeah.
So sometimes you sort of, I don't know, you can overthink. But I was just surprised to hear him say that.
Mm.
Not that, I mean, you could, the other argument with that is, well, yeah, but then he's finished second, so he can't be doing much wrong, can he?
No, I think he'll be fine this week. I liked Wacky Nyman if I was going to.
That'd
have
be
one,
your regret.
Yeah, but 20-1, I can pass that up. But if he'd been slightly bigger than the market, I'd be very interested in him.
If John Rahm wins by 5, will you kick yourself about 13-2 or
maybe
let that pass?
Maybe. I think he's undoubtedly the one to. He's just, his strike rate on the European Tour is phenomenal, and he doesn't seem to. There doesn't seem to be a week go by on the European Tour when he doesn't contend.
Yeah, he's like a sort of big fish in the sea, isn't he? When he comes back, it's like he sort of comes back and he's the man almost. And yeah, especially in these Rolex Series ones, he absolutely loves them. And I think maybe just in France last week, there's too many holes there that can catch you out. I don't think there would be as many tricky potential sort of nightmare holes here, so I fully expect him to be right up there from the start.
And that was the thing with Rahm last week, wasn't it? He just got into trouble on one too many an occasion last week.
Yeah,
and he was hacking it down the 11th or 12th, wasn't he, on the right hand side?
Yeah, and the 15th, I think he double bogeyed the first 2 days and sort of made a miracle par on the Saturday. But that course, Le Golf National, it does penalise the sort of errors, and I don't think, as I said, there's enough sort of holes on this course that will drive him as mad. So
yeah,
won by 6 last year and could easily do something similar.
Yeah. Okay, let's recap the selections then, Dave.
Yeah, so in the Irish Open, I will go a point each way, Graham McDowell at 50-1. And sticking with the Irish theme, I'll go a point each way, Padraig Harrington for first round lead at 66s. And then in the American event, I will go a point. No, I'll have to go more than that. I am very confident. What am I talking about? I'll go 2 points each way. There you go. 2 points each way, Webb Simpson at 16s.
Yeah, I'm going a point each way, Hao Tong Li at 33-1 in the event in Ireland. And a point each way, Aaron Wise in the Greenbrier at 66-1. Dave, thank you for your company.
Yeah, cheers, Dave.
If you want to follow us both on Twitter, please do. At Dave Tindall Golf is Dave's Twitter handle, and mine is at D Kellner. Make sure you check out all the betting on the William Hill website and on the app as well, sports.williamhill.com. And we're betting a 50 odds each way, the first 6 places on the Irish Open and the Greenbrier this week. And myself and Dave will be back with a debrief and a look ahead to events next week on the podcast on Tuesday. Until then, enjoy your golf betting week. And the very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.